Have you heard the latest? According to a recent study, Vero's Voice magazine, yes, our own Vero's Voice magazine, has the most online readership of any of the local magazines in the county. That's saying a lot. And you know why? Because Vero's Voice magazine features Vero Beach people from all walks of life. Real people with real stories. Makes you think, shouldn't you advertise with them? Join the smart advertisers already there. Don't hesitate. Call 772-473-7777, and you too can make a difference.
Is your car or truck registered in Florida? Did you know you can easily help our oceans and estuaries by purchasing a Harbor Branch Oceanographic Institute Foundation specialty license plate? For a nominal extra annual fee, by purchasing an attractive Save Our Seas, Protect Wild Dolphins, Protect Florida Whales, or Aquaculture specialty license plate, you can directly support critical scientific research, outreach, and education to benefit the health of our oceans or the Indian River Lagoon. The Indian River Tax Collector's Office can help, or visit the Foundation's website at hboifoundation.org.
Welcome, Vero Beach, to Cat Chat with Rocket and Jan D. Every Saturday morning at this time, hear how our friendly felines are being taken care of here in Indian River County and the Treasure Coast. And now, for a perfect program, here is Rocket's human, Jan D.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Jan D, and welcome to Cat Chat. Our guest today is Nicole Forsyth. She's the president and CEO of Red Rovers, and she'll be joining us shortly to tell us about all of the hard work they're doing out there in the trenches, saving animals when crisis strikes, such as hurricanes, fires, and even hoarding situations. But first, a reminder that Cat Chat is sponsored today by A Mew with a View Incorporated. We're a local nonprofit organization here on the Treasure Coast in beautiful Vero Beach, Florida. For those of you listening nationwide via iHeartRadio, WAXE 1370, or locally, 107.9 FM 1370 AM. Our mission today, as it is every day, is to help abused, abandoned, and discarded kitty cats in our community find their forever homes and loving humans. We support all of our area's animal advocates and organizations. If we can help you get your message and mission out to our listeners, please join us here on Cat Chat as our guest. We can be reached via email at amewwithaview@gmail.com. info@amewwithaview.org, via Facebook or Instagram, A Mew with a View Official, A Mew with a View, where cats see you too. Our guest today, calling in from Sacramento, California, is Nicole Forsyth. Thanks, Nicole, for starting your day with us, with our cat chatters, and taking your time to tell us about Red Rover. How are you?
Thank you. Good. Thank you. It's wonderful to be on the show.
Well, I hope you have a lot of coffee and tea out there, because I know you're 3 hours behind.
I do. I'm a big coffee drinker, so I'm caffeinated.
All right. Well, we're ready to go. And, of course, our cat chatters, which are our listeners, definitely want to know who Red Rover, who you guys are, what you do, and you do a lot of work. I know you do a lot of work, but why don't you tell our listeners?
Sure. So we're a national organization. We work throughout the United States and some of Canada. And we're really there to help when people and animals are in crisis together. So we've often been called the American Red Cross for animals, because we're mostly known for our program that goes in and helps communities temporarily shelter animals during a natural disaster or any time the community is overwhelmed by a large number of animals. So you mentioned hoarding. It could be a hoarding case. Whenever there's a criminal seizure case and the community, maybe the local shelter or animal control agency, is above their ability kind of day to day. And so we have over 4,000 volunteers all over the country and in Canada as well that go and help set up a temporary shelter. So they take off time from work. They're pre-trained, so they kind of know what to expect. They go set up the kennels, the crates, and they just provide an amazing service, amazing tender, loving care to these animals so that the people, often if they're, you know, owned animals, the people don't have to worry. They can deal with their own crisis. So that's one of the programs we're most known for. But we also help domestic violence victims escape their abusive situations with their pets. This is an area that's growing very quickly. We have learned so much about how pets are used in these abusive situations. So we are really trying to address that issue. We also help when people can't afford emergency veterinary care. So if something happens to their pet and they can't afford it, we're there to help them, you know, find not only maybe pay for some of it, but also help them with additional resources. So we talk to a lot of people on the phone. We are definitely there to help both the people and the animals in these crisis situations.
Fantastic. And you do this through grants and donations, of course. And before I leave that, your website is redrover.org is the main website, and it's really well done. And then you have redrover.org/responders when you need volunteers as a go team. Is that correct?
Yes, and everyone, if they're interested in learning how to become a volunteer, there's information on our website, redrover.org, on how to sign up to go to a workshop or find out when the next workshop's going to be. And we definitely, people have to be trained before they go, but it's a fairly straightforward training program. And we encourage all, you know, whatever people's experience with animals, we have a way to find a way to help. How do you help?
Okay, I know I first met or first learned of Red Rover a couple years ago through our local Humane Society here in Vero Beach in Indian River County. I met Beth Gammy, your director of field services.
Wonderful.
And I got your standard operating procedures handbook, and I must tell you, it is comprehensive and really, really well done and doesn't leave any question unanswered for the people out in the field. So congratulations on that. Excellent piece.
Great.
Yeah.
And and she's actually based in Florida. So that is nice for everyone there to know that you should all be very proud that our director of field services lives in Florida, and she gets involved quite a bit with some of the local work that's being done. And we've been doing quite a few, in addition to the kind of hoarding cases or natural disasters, we also will help with TNR projects. So when we know the project is really managed very well, and Beth is an expert in that area, and she actually wrote a book on how to run, not a book, but like a manual on how to do these operations to really try to make sure the cats are taken care of in the long term as well.
Yes, it's growing in the state, in every county, and we're working on it here as well. So thank you for bringing that up. The organization was founded in 1987, I believe?
Yes.
And was it an individual or a group of people that said, hey, we need to get out there and help all these animals in crisis?
Yeah, it was started. We actually had a different name when it was first founded, and someone kind of branched off from the founder branched off from a different organization, really wanting to focus on companion animals and really focus on where there were animals in immediate crisis. And it was started off internationally, it was kind of around the world, and then we just gradually focused more and more over the years to the U.S. and Canada and these very specific issues so that we could try to address them more closely.
I know that one of the programs you're extremely proud of is the Red Rover reading program that goes into the classroom. And I have a note here. You have over almost 600 classrooms you've been in, I guess, over the length of the time the program's been ongoing.
Yeah, so that's a wonderful, we're pretty unique in this kind of program. It's humane education, but it really is integrating into the schools. We train the teachers, and it's specifically helping the teachers work with kids to learn the three steps needed for empathy. So they need to be able to recognize emotional states in animals and people. They need to be able to share those emotional states by developing their own awareness of their own emotions and how those may be similar or different to people and animals you know, they encounter. And then they have to be able to regulate those emotions. So having that self-awareness, but also being able to know, you know, when they're experiencing anger, what's really going on, and they can help learn behaviors to regulate those emotions so that they don't act out the way that they shouldn't be in certain situations, and can help them make better decisions and build better relationships. So that is a pretty innovative program. Been growing very quickly. We train teachers all over the country and in Canada, and we just are releasing our third app. So we actually have the program in an app form where it's a story, and parents can have the specific questions we ask kids embedded into the app. So both parents and kids in homes all over the world really can download this app and get a little bit of the program where they work with kids, with their own kids, and help them develop these three steps of empathy.
Fantastic. So you're starting them at an early age to understand that bond, that bridge between the animal and the human. Wonderful. The domestic violence program, you offer different things for that as well. This helps domestic violence survivors escape the dangerous situations with their pets so that they can feel safe as a family, because the pets, you know, pets are part of our family. And we want to, well, what do you do there? You give them safe housing, you give them off-site, on-site. How do you work that program?
Yeah, so we have, you know, three main ways that we help domestic violence survivors. The first, you know, really immediate way we help is if they're in a situation they need to escape, that maybe they've called a domestic violence shelter, an advocate, and they realize they need to get out. And we, if they go somewhere and they can't allow pets, they don't accept pets there, we can provide a grant to get their pet at a temporary boarding facility for a temporary stay. Mm-hmm. And that is a good emergency sort of first step, but of course it's not very sustainable and it's not ideal because they can't be with their pets. And mm-hmm. most of us know, you know, we don't want to break up that bond. It's so important to keep people with their pets, especially in a time of crisis, because they're often, you know, the source of healing. So we are working with domestic violence shelters directly to help them build facilities or adapt their facilities to allow pets on site. So we're really excited about this. We actually just today have a really exciting announcement that Purina is partnering with us.
Yay!
And over the course of the next 4 years, they're going to be giving us over $500,000 to help us build these shelters at domestic violence facilities. And so it's huge. It's actually going to be a video is going to appear in the Westminster Dog Show tonight.
Oh.
So that's going to be really exciting. If anyone's watching that show, they should look for the video. It's Purina and Red Rover's partnership. And in addition to the money they're giving us, it's really building awareness around this issue. A lot of people don't understand that not only will domestic violence victims not leave because they're worried about their pets, they're actually used in the abuse.
Yes.
So they're used as tools to manipulate the people, and mm-hmm. the closer the bond, the more a perpetrator uses it against the person. And it can be anything from threatening to get rid of the pet, or threatening if they leave, they're going to take the pet to the shelter.
Yeah.
Or they may not let someone take their pet to a vet. There's really subtle ways that they're used and abused. And so we're working with Purina to increase awareness around psychological abuse and physical abuse and how pets play a role in this, a pretty big role, actually. And by getting the pets out with the people, we are helping, you know, both the people and the pets. And we're, you know, making sure that that really important bond stays intact.
Well, that is just that's fabulous news. Thanks for sharing with us. You're bringing animals from crisis to care. Now, last year in Florida, actually in the country, we had fires, we had hurricanes, we had floods. You guys must have been going hand over paw to try and get everybody saved.
Yes, we were very busy. We did 14 deployments last year because of how many disasters were happening. And in our history, we've done over 200. So it's pretty important work.
Yes, it is. It's essential and critical work. Now, I know it's heartbreaking often, but I know it's heartwarming too. Of course, the show is called Cat Chat, but we say whether it meows, barks, squeaks, squeals, or moos, every tail counts. So I'm sure you're working with dogs, you're working with cats, I guess farm animals, horses, all kinds of critters out there need saving, and even in hoarding situations. Can you address that?
So we definitely, most of the time we end up helping companion animals just because of the nature of the, you know, natural disasters and the way that the shelters are set up. But it's amazing to see, you know, what kind of animals show up sometimes, everything from turtles to horses to guinea pigs to iguanas to, you know, all sorts of animals will show up, including the hoarding cases. And we also help with, you know, puppy mill criminal seizure cases.
Yes.
And sometimes there may be cat breeding going on at the same time there's the dog breeding going on, where again, they're just, you know, subpar standards. And so we go in and help them deal with that criminal seizure case too while they're prosecuting. So it's amazing. There's so many stories that come out of this. I'm trying to think of what would be a great story to share. I think one of the ones that you know, really resonates with us at Red Rover is there was a just really sheds light on why the domestic violence thing is so important to address. So we received a call from someone who the cat, his name was Louie, was being was not being fed.
Mm.
So the abusive situation was the cat was not was being locked in a closet, and they couldn't see. So there was kids involved, and the kids actually had their own kind of emotional and mental, like they were developmentally delayed, and so the cats were actually therapy cats, and they weren't being allowed to see them, and the abuser was keeping them from them and the wife, ex-wife, and so just this horrible, horrible situation. And so knowing that we were able to help get, you know, that cat out of there, that they finally went back and got the cat. The saddest part was that despite everything we did, the cat didn't make it.
Mm.
And that was devastating. And I hate to share that story. But what was so amazing is that so many of our donors, we were just so heartbroken because we shared the story and then it didn't have a good ending. And we were all so just devastated because we got attached to this one cat. The cat ended up being at a local veterinary clinic, so we got to actually go meet the cat in person. So it was just really, really a heart-wrenching one. But it's kind of my inspiration when I think about this because it was so subtle, you know, what this person was doing. It wasn't physical. He wasn't hitting the cat. He wasn't hitting the people. And it just shows how it's very pervasive, and you don't even know these things are happening until all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, this is happening to me. This cat is being used against me, and I don't know what to do. And, you know, she didn't leave her situation. She couldn't bring the cats with her. And so providing a way for people to escape their abusive situations, whether it's psychological or physical, and making sure they can bring the cats with them or their pets with them is just, it's just vital to both the, you know, the human relationships and the human-pet relationships.
Well, Louie, rest in peace. We know you did everything you could. I saw a couple of stories, thanks to Anne, saving Isaac the cat. He did lose his eye, but he's still going strong. And Heather, who saved Grim, who had bad teeth. So
yeah.
He doesn't have teeth, but he's still eating and he's not in pain. So there's some good outcome stories.
We have hundreds that we've helped. We've given veterinary grants to hundreds and hundreds of animals every year that have great outcomes, and so we try to focus on those too. what's nice about Red Rover too is we usually only tell the positive stories when these, you know, all the animals that are saved from natural disasters and reunited with their people, and it just feels so good to share these positive stories. And I think that's why the Louie one hit us so hard, was because we shared it and then it wasn't happy, and we were all so upset that our donors and our volunteers were like, it's okay, you can tell us that story every once in a while. And it felt really good just to get the support, you know, from our followers and our community. We kind of needed that too, so it was very heartwarming.
Well, Nicole, this whole concept and all of the information that you're giving to our listeners about psychological or physical abuse for animals, I think is really enlightening. I think we think of other things. Our mission, as I mentioned, was helping abused, abandoned, and discarded kitty cats in our community find their forever loving homes. But it's a little different. You know, people pitch the cat out the window. If the dog's gone an hour, they might have a meltdown. But if the cat's gone a week, they're like, it'll eventually find its way home. And that's not always the case. So just highlighting the concept that humans sometimes can be manipulative and cruel to their humans via the animals is such an enlightening topic. And I suspect that our Cat Chat listeners will start to do more research and have lots of questions. Let me give your website again. It's redrover.org or redrover.org/responders for anybody that might want to get involved that's able and physical that can, grab a go bag and go help you with these crises around the country, because we know more are coming. Hurricane season's around the corner and flooding, fires, all the things that we deal with. So what can our listeners do to help you right now?
We definitely have lots of volunteer opportunities. So you mentioned the Red River Responders Program, and we do trainings all over the country. So that's a great thing to do if someone is interested in that. Of course, donating, becoming a monthly donor is incredibly valuable for us. It's an easy way to not even think about it once you sign up for, $5 a month. Super easy, and redrover.org, donate. Easy to do that as well. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to for the Red Rover relief and the domestic violence work that we're doing. Our goal is by 2020, we're going to have a domestic violence shelter in every state that accepts pets. So great way to support a very clear objective that we're trying to get to. We also have a website called safeplaceforpets.org, and that's a great website to go to or refer other people. So if you know someone who you think is in a relationship that may be abusive, you hear kind of things like maybe they're telling you that their partner is saying they're going to get rid of the pet or whatever. Mm. Those are red flags. And so if you know someone who you think might be in a bad relationship, directing them to safeplaceforpets.org. It has information about domestic violence and pets, and you just put in a zip code and up comes all the resources in your area for if you did need to escape, where would you bring your pets? So that's a great resource for people to share and know about. And then people who are interested in our Red River Readers program, download our app. It's available. We have the first two apps are available right now in both the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. It's Raja Book 1 and Raja Book 2. Hmm. And you can download those. They're free. The first two are free. Share them with parents or teachers. It's easy to show in a classroom. And it's a great way to really work with kids early, help them understand animal behavior, and develop some self-awareness and empathy so that these things don't happen again. We really feel like by getting to kids early, teaching them empathy, we can prevent some of the crises that we see when people are older. So if people are passionate about that, we're going to be launching Raja Book 3 March 28th. We're going to have an event here in Sacramento. It's going to be live streamed, so if people want to attend the event virtually, they can do that on our website. You can go directly to the Empathy app launch page, which is redrover.org/empathy launch. App launch. And yeah, that's another great way to help out. If people want to learn more about that, they can go to that same website, redrover.org. App launch, and learn a little bit more about the app and what we're doing and how easy it would be for people to download, write a review, and it's a pretty creative way to kind of get that information out there. We also have a kids magazine called Kind News. We acquired it from the Humane Society of the United States, and we are growing that. So if people know kids, buy a subscription for them. It's an easy way to do the same thing that our Red River Readers program does, where we're getting kids to understand animal behavior, and work on those skills, they need to develop empathy.
Okay.
And recently, yeah, so I've got lots of stuff.
I hate to do it. I hate to say it. The time went fast. Thank you, Nicole Forsythe from Red Rover, for being on. And please come back. I know you're going to have tons more of information for us. So have a perfect day out there in Sacramento or wherever you're listening to us today. Have a great time, and I hope to talk to you again. Bye-bye.
Wonderful. Thank you.